tonight. He's told me to stop coming out here and saying nothing for three or four tunes. If he's here right now, he can come out here and talk to you. I'm not ready yet. few songs of mine that has been covered by somebody else. For a long time, I knew of a Swedish guitar duet that had recovered something I'd done. And I've forgotten the other one. Somebody sent me a link recently, and I saw my friend Albert Lee doing this tune in a club in Sydney called The Basement. And he mentions in there that he had recorded it as well. I never knew. It's one thing when somebody plays an instrumental that I've written, because I don't know, it's different from what is now the only experience I've had of hearing some. No, that's a lie. I'll just stop there. I climbed the hill to Julie's house, the place I used to live. I climbed the steps and tried the door and let myself in. The kitchen clock I used to watch had stopped at 5 to 5. A photograph I'd never seen, a car came up the drive. I stood outside the kitchen door, and when she turned her head, I said that I was back to stay. She laughed at what I said. She said that I'd go home, believing that I was what mattered most, that I'd uncover real feelings when I got. It's a sour grapes kind of tune. I moved as a child from Cheyenne to Muskogee, where it was customary, as far as I was concerned, because it had been this way everywhere else that I had lived, to be beaten up for a while by all the other people until you get to know each other, and then everything's fine. I was tired of that sort of protocol, and kind of troubled when two people showed up in what was my folks' house, or outside it, and told me to show up that evening in somebody else's backyard. I figured, they were more formal about beating you to a pulp in Muskogee than they were in Cheyenne. But I got there. There were quite a few kids hanging around. I was about 33 years old, I think. I was told to choose between two girls. They were, actual girls. This was the summer before the seventh grade, and one of the two that I was supposed to select, which was you can imagine, you don't say anything. I can tell you that much. It's so new, for one thing. One of them threw me to the ground. I'm a pushover. Landed on my shoulders with her knees and kissed me. I knew instinctively that I was in a bus depot on a slow afternoon. Nobody around. I also knew that this was how I was supposed to make my selection, because her name was Sammy, got up, and Julie landed on me. I really don't know why all of this happened. I don't know that everybody who comes into town gets that treatment in Muskogee. And Julie kissed me, but Julie kissed me. One of the things I've learned is that I have this idea that I can imagine what's coming next. Doesn't matter what I'm doing. I take a left turn, I can imagine how that's going to go. Whatever. There's no way that that's ever true, but when it comes to your first real kiss, it's an impossibility. I was ruined. It's just ruined. Planets fell out of their orbit. I learned the real meaning of the word drool. And I picked Sammy. Just nuts, that's all. Bothered me for years. I had to exorcise my guilt, my sense of, just how stupid I could be, how contrary I could be, how opposed to my own self-interests I could be. Who would pick a bus depot over a kiss? So I just told myself, well, I know how that would have worked out. Song about it. I've been listening to a lot of ABBA lately. Maybe I shouldn't say that. I met them once a long time ago, but I... Just like the time I met Bob Dylan and spoke to him for about an hour, I didn't know it. Bob, I just thought it was some guy hanging around the studio. He said, "What do you think of this project?" And that, which was his, by the way. I wouldn't have said some of the things I'd said if I'd known who I was talking to. Because I'm one of those people that draws a line after blonde on blonde. And, I'm sure he didn't want to hear that. But at the time I met ABBA, I didn't want to hear him. There was no line anywhere. It's, I don't know, something happened. Reminds me of doing an interview once at Stockholm, one of the first times I played there, and I was sitting in a diner with, a cafe, I think you would call it, with two journalists from a national paper, and I was dealing with the questions, as were they, that you have to ask and that you have that must be answered. You know, where do your titles come from? What are your major inspirations? And stuff like that, that nobody ever answers, honestly, because nobody, you don't know. And you do find out now and then what your real influences are, and it's always mortifying when you discover who you really are. If you can walk away from here tonight having learned anything from me, it should be... Don't know yourself. Just don't. So, I was making stuff up and they were putting up with me and there was Sunday and there was a guy down here in a suit and a tie. One table removed from us, reading the funny papers, he laughed and he punched himself in the face. And he punched himself. It wasn't ah, it was ha, bam, and it. You heard it. You know. You felt it a little in your feet, and you looked. Things are turning red, and I looked at the two journalists, and they looked at me, and I looked at him. I had an idea of why he had punched himself, but I couldn't think that was true. And maybe things were different in Sweden and that kind of thing. And so we continue, and I try not to tell him about Sonny James, and instead I'm talking about Dizzy Gillespie. And they were putting up with me, and we're getting through this job that we've all been asked to do. When the guy reading the funny papers laughed again, and punched himself in the face again. Same place, same fist, same velocity, same mass. It was ugly. It was really ugly. Now he's crying. There's this huge, you know, manhole cover-sized welt on his head that he put there himself because he's laughing too much, I guess. And I looked at him and I looked at them and I kind of, you know, I didn't have a local passport. I didn't speak the language. But I thought maybe somebody should interfere. And one of them said, frowned at me and said to me, "We don't lock them up like you do in the States." Knock yourself out, pal. I mean, there was one more blow. I'd had enough. This is a song called Ants, and it's a title that I have come up with in an attempt to stop coming up with the kind of titles I usually come up with. Thank you. hole opening up. You want to close it before you fall through it. Just the unthink, the athink, something like that. If I look at this other guitar, maybe something will develop. Yes. No. I thought it pretty. There is a, when I finished that tune, it was called Ants because I was reading a book on ants at the time that I wrote the tune, and the book is it's more a collection. It's a bunch of photographs, a portrait and a side view of every genus of ant on Earth, everyone that, you know, they could find. I imagine some of them are like the rock ant of Greenland or something. It's hard to get at, but. And they're taken with an electron microscope. So there's a whole lot of ant for your buck. And there are a lot of, there are many gene, the genera ant is filled with many genuses, whatever. Something like that. Somebody got actually really upset with me. This was a biologist in Boise, Idaho. Approached me after the show, wanted to straighten me out. It's not many ant genera. Genera is the plural. You're talking about many genus of ants. And I said, well, how do you plural? We got in an argument. It didn't feel like show business anymore to me. But I've forgotten now how many there are, but there's one of us. There used to be two, I think three, but that's just me. Of ant, there's over 100, I think it's around 200. There's so many of them, they can waste an entire universe of ant and there'd be, you know, 199 left. There's nothing, no worries, everything's fine. They just have to be patient. They are next, there's no question of that. They're right over there somewhere. They're watching us, they get their eyes on us. And that's the thing about this book. Some of them don't have any eyes. Some of them have so many eyes, they aren't even placed right. They're just kind of, it's just weird. Why is this one way over here? What does that one do? Some have no eyes. And everything they've got is designed to allow them to annihilate other genuses of ants. That's all they live for. They've got to entertain themselves somehow until we're gone. But my favorite, now I'm looking for a kick, there it is. I mean, some of them just move into your ant hill, and stink you to death, like the thing that has, that's another place where I said formalin, it squirts formalin on you. The biologist said, it's not formalin. She must have taken notes. It's formic acid. Formalin, formic, you say tomato, go home. I think you're an ant. And that's the end of that universe of Anne. There's one that is straight on, is nearly invisible. It's just an edge. And I know what it does. It goes into the neighboring anthill, turns sideways, they freak out. There are many ant infarctions. Too many for us to count. But my favorite and scariest ant. And you know, these are taken with an electron microscope. These are big ant heads. Lots of face. This one has nothing. It's just a dome. There's no, whatever these are, there's no mandibles that I can see. There's nothing. It's just this knob. So what it does, it goes in the other anthill and just poses an existential question. The other, you know, they just freeze. The other ants freeze. I can't. But if. Nothing quieter than the laugh of an ant.
You have the
Okay. Consult the device. Sometimes the whole thing moves in my mind. See, because I'm going to sing again. It's one thing if the guitar is a few cents. You know, it can be in tune, but, well, it's never in tune. But it'll be below pitch, which means nothing unless you have perfect pitch and unless you're the one that's singing. Because just some of it don't work right there. Some people have skills, though, that render their playing impervious to stuff like that, and their singing. I have seen and heard it. I actually recorded it. Tim Sparks playing a guitar that was miserably out of tune. Right? This thing, and I don't mean that, you know, it just hadn't been tuned properly. I mean that no matter what you did, it would be out of tune, because, you know, this saddle here was... It was like the eyes on the ant that has a lot of eyes. So these two notes were not the same. It was more like... So no, it wouldn't, you know, when I played it, it sounded like that. It sounded completely out of tune. When he played it, it sounded perfectly in tune. He moved out of town, you know, because... tell I was angry. And that's just uncanny that you can do that. I'm sure it's got something to do with voicing and where you put the root compared to it. But that can't really solve it out. And then there are skills that you shouldn't have in the first place. Things that, I mean, this guy crossed my mind. I haven't thought of him in years. I met him once, and then 25 years later, I met him again under completely different circumstances. And finally, after dealing with him for a couple of weeks, he said, "You don't remember me, do you?" I said, "Are you kidding?" And he said, "Do you remember a guy in Portland, Oregon? You met him at a party, he had really long hair, and he was really nuts, really out." And I said, "That's you." And I said, "You look better." I said, "You look a little, you know, you were really screwed up, weren't you?" He said, "Yes, I was. I'm waiting now for a new liver." He said, I destroyed the other one with a talent. He had a talent. He was being ironic, but I think at the time he first discovered it, he thought he was in heaven. He was a heroin addict, but he was allergic to heroin. So the better the heroin, the worse his high, or whatever he just had, you know, it would convulse him. And he'd just have to have more of that, because that's... So everybody in Portland learned about him. And when they were buying heroin from an unreliable supplier, they'd call up, we'll call him Bob, they'd call up Bob and tell him to come and have some to decide whether they should buy it or not. And if Bob went into a coma, they'd buy it. And Bob got high for nothing. So he's, you know. Guy whose talent was whistling. He opened for me in Hamburg on the first night of a long tour I was doing in Germany, and it almost got him killed. One note, and the crap flying through the air, yelling at me. There was an actual riot for me. What I didn't know was that in the late 20s and early 30s in Germany, there had been a huge craze other than fascism for whistling. whistling was just cool. Well, they didn't want to hear that again. For a long time, I thought my talent was for the trombone. Those are the worst kinds of talent to have. The ones you think you have. Am I talking too much? I think I said this last year. There's a point in every set I play where I start having a better time than the crowd. Thank you. like to dedicate this next song to my feet, which I froze solid about 40 years ago in the hospital for 2 weeks watching the room fill up with my feet. They're fine now. Where is this start? Okay. I was there. Where were you? Come on. In the bleak midwinter, frosty wind made moan. The earth as hard as ice, water turned to stone. Snow is falling, snow on snow, snow on snow on snow. The deep midwinter, long, long ago. Thank you. Song that I got to record with Los Lobos, but the first time I recorded or played, is a better word, with any of the guys in the band was David Hidalgo at Oceanway Studios, and we were in there for a few days. I was having a great time. It was the first time I got my hands on something called a bajo sexto, which is a 12-string instrument, but it's not like this. It's tuned, I believe, an octave down, and generally you just chunk it. You know, you just get the. It's a rhythm device, almost a drum. But you can play it if you behave yourself. Too hard, and you can imagine a guitar that's an octave below this thing, and something like that. I mean, just beyond, right where you want to be. You want to submerge, take it down there, and the strings are double strung frequently. I don't know if there are any octaves. Yeah, no, there are. It's just a monster. And so we're sitting in the studio, and that's it. I don't know. about, I think, 40 minutes later, I realized that I'd been playing three chords for 40 minutes. Recording with a guy I'm dying to play with. Guitar player's a guitar player. Always got that feel in there and these details. I thought, oh God. I couldn't stop, I was trying to think, how do I get out of this? I've just made a fool of myself. And I opened one eye and I looked over there. David was playing this electric guitar with lipstick tube pickups. He was right there with me. He didn't care. So I swore we had to figure out a way to use that track. And I remember I went back to the Beverly Garland Howard Johnson that night, smoked a cigar, which is always a mistake. Got really sick and wrote the first half of the verses. In the morning I had recovered and I wrote the second half. But I'm not going to play that for you tonight. It brings back too many ugly memories of nicotine. And the more, if this should ever happen to you, get in the bathtub empty. An empty bathtub, nude, you'll have something of what you're looking for if you do that. You need porcelain, you need a lot of it. You need cool, dispassionate, disinterested porcelain. You need to be in it, not near it. But I am gonna play another tune that I got to record with the whole band. And I would love to say thanks to David and Laura and everybody else tonight. Thanks for coming out. Somebody says, baby, what you doing? Been wondering where you've been. Now and then I think about you and me. No use fighting things we can't recall, 'cause you don't matter now at all. Just come on in, baby, we'll laugh and sing. We'll make love, let the telephone ring. Ring, ring, doorbell ring, baby, come on in. I got Mel Blanc on the radio. And I'm glad you came around. I've been feeling down, talking to Tony and Mario. You know they make good conversation. Still it ain't no consolation. 'Cause I got love, baby, I'll give you some. Somebody come, let the doorbell ring. Ring, ring, voices ring with a happy tune. everybody can be a singer. The sun comes up across the city, and I swear you never looked so young and pretty. Hand in hand we'll stand upon the sand, preaching that let the wind bells ring. Hand in hand we'll stand upon the sand, preaching that let the wind bells ring. First thing I ever heard.